Right on, right on, right on. Live right.
Live right.
In the real world. Right on radio.
Right on radio.
Welcome, everyone, to Right on Radio. I'm so glad you could be here today. This particular episode is being made for you to share with people. It's going to be very informative. And yes, you may know some of the information I'm going to be presenting, but I'm going to be presenting it in a particular order that even for the seasoned Right on Radio listener, there is a message when you put it all together. And it's a very important one because at this point in time, we actually need some solutions. So you're going to have some solution towards the end of this broadcast. I'm going to be playing some clips for you today. And the first one I'm going to play is, well, it's going to be, for those of you listening on Podbean, it is just going to be a song that you're going to hear. It's about 4 minutes long. However, about halfway through the song, you're going to understand what the images are being displayed as. And this is important for everyone to remember. Even if you have seen these clips before, we cannot forget and we can't comply because they're going to be doing something like this again. So enjoy this David Bowie song playing behind the following images.
Right on, right on, right on.
Oh, wrong one. There we go.
Put your masks on.
The 46th President of the United States, Joe Biden.
The Premier walking maskless seconds before saying,
I think all of us know people in our lives who are not necessarily following these rules.
Victoria Police has issued 2 infringement notices to Premier Daniel Andrews.
I've been wearing the mask the entire game long. People want a picture, I hold my breath. Zero risk.
The video shows a maskless Bree and dancing without any food or drinks in her hand. She also posed for photos while not wearing.
I got up and started dancing because I was feeling the spirit and I wasn't thinking about a mask. I was thinking about having a good time. And in the process, I was following the health order. I'm vaccinated. I don't need to wear a mask and take a picture every single time. I don't want to.
Thank you. I'm really happy to have gotten my booster shot for COVID.
Face coverings compulsory in Wales in indoor public places.
It's literally insane. We are the Gucci and we're coming to town.
Oh, I thought you were like, oh, wait, he's the one unmasked guy.
Because I got
uppercuts and cracker. Oh, okay. Listen to me, don't listen to me. Talk to me, don't talk to me. Dance with me, don't dance with me. No. All South Africans to wear a face mask whenever you leave home.
That we actually have indoor mask wearing for years.
I've just got something in my eye and I shouldn't be using my mask for that, but I'm sorry. If I could just get a tissue, and apologies for that.
Right on, right on, right on. Right on radio.
Right on radio.
If that video did not infuriate you, no matter what your status was during this thing, rules for thee, but not for me. Oh yeah, they were all hypocrites. They would put on their mask just for the photo, then take it off and hug each other while they were locking you in your homes. It was all theater. Folks, life is an illusion. After all, the next, actually, before I play the next clip for you, which is going to be about 8 to 9 minutes, very informative on many levels, I'm going to ask you to do something that I've never asked before. And that is, for each one of these segments, and let's say there's three, I'm contemplating putting a fourth one in, but probably three. So the one you just watched, the one you are going to watch now, and then the one I'm going to end with. I'm going to ask you to put a very brief comment on each one of the segments and what you thought about it. Would you do that for me? And also hit the like if you can. Now I want you to watch this particular one. Let me share the screen. And this is good for audio and for video. The audio will carry the story, of course, but the video helps you to understand who some of the characters are. Yeah, here we go. It's this one. Please enjoy. I'm going to cut off just a bit of a disclaimer. I'm going to try to cut it out before it gets to. I don't edit afterwards. It takes way too long. But there's a little bit of promotion for Bitcoin in this at the very end, and I know some people are true believers in Bitcoin. I'm not, and I don't think the story behind it is what you have been told, and I consider Bitcoin to be part of the market, and I would advise you to get out. Anyways, without further ado, please enjoy this Right on Radio presentation.
I may be dead by the time you watch this. Very possibly are. You don't know if the man is making things he wants you to see. Destroy your television sets now. You must listen to no orders. That's all I can tell you at this point.
The actor and comedian Rick Mail has died suddenly at the age of 56, who shot to fame in The Young Ones and starred in some of the most successful comedy series of the 1980s and 90s. He leaves behind his wife and three children.
So now you're telling me that climate change is fake?
As you know it.
Why do you recycle? Why do you recycle?
I'm doing my bit.
So you're trying to save the planet?
Yeah.
How precious of you to think that you could save the planet. If she needed saving, especially from us, she'd just wipe us out. People in power are using fear to fuel the racism. How long before they use this racism to make soldiers turn on their own? Innocent people. Living in a police state.
So where'd it begun? Controlling and monitoring the movement of individuals within the society. Putting chips in passports, ID cards, CCTV.
They're using this orchestrated ruse to convince the public to accept Big Brother type controls. And then they will intentionally reduce the mass of the world's population. Mass genocide on a scale never seen before. There are a mass of ways they could introduce population slaughter. More staged events, orchestrated and maneuvered conflicts, and the use of bioengineered diseases. Vaccines. It could come in vaccines.
13 out of every 14 people killed, destroyed, and murdered.
In order to stabilize world population, they need, or want, to dispose of 6.5 billion people. It's a horrible thing to say, but isn't it just as bad not to say it?
Questions?
These are the things that are going on in there. It's like an octopus with arms. It's many, many arms, but you got to go after the head of the octopus in this one. Who is it? The central banks, the IMF, the ECB, the private Western central banks, the BIS, the Rothschild banks.
The Federal Reserve, really, even though it is not part of the federal government, it is more powerful than the federal government. It's more powerful than the president, the Congress, and the courts.
The problem is that since 1864, we've had a debt-based banking system. All our money is based on government debt. We cannot extinguish government debt without extinguishing our money supply. That's why talk of paying off the national debt without reforming our banking system is an impossibility. That's why the solution does not lie in discussing the size of the national debt. Rather, it lies in reforming our banking system. There's nothing federal about the Federal Reserve, and there are no reserves. The name is a deception created back before the Federal Reserve Act was passed in 1913 to make Americans think that America's central bank operates in the public interest. Why can't Congress do something about the Fed? Most members of Congress just don't understand the system, and the few who do are afraid to speak up.
As difficult as it was for me, I have come to an inescapable and profoundly disturbing conclusion. I believe that an elite group of people and the corporations they run have gained control over not just our energy, food supply, education, and healthcare, but over virtually every aspect of our lives. And they do it by controlling the world of finance, not by creating more value, but by actually controlling the source of money. When I followed the money, I found that it took me up the levels of a pyramid. Here we are at the bottom level going about our daily lives. Above us is government, people who are given a monopoly on force and use it to tax and control us whether or not we agree. But who controls them? At the next level are the corporations. Many would say that it is now corporations and not nation states that rule the world. They call it a corporatocracy. To acquire the world's resources and control the markets, this corporatocracy must have access to cheap money. The big corporations get their loans at special rates from the big banks, which means that those who control the major banks, the moneyed elite, ultimately control the corporations. As I've followed the money, I've learned that almost everything I once believed about money is simply not true.
The problem is we have a privately owned central bank system in the United States disguised as a government-owned system. Now, if you look in the telephone book here in the Washington, D.C. area, you look up for Federal Reserve in the blue government pages, it's not there. It's in the white pages right next to Federal Express. It's a privately owned central bank.
One of the most outspoken critics in Congress of the Fed was the former chairman of the House Banking and Currency Committee during the Great Depression years. Louis T. McFadden, Republican of Pennsylvania, said in 1932, "We have in this country one of the most corrupt institutions the world has ever known. I refer to the Federal Reserve Board. This evil institution has impoverished the people of the United States and has practically bankrupted our government. Senator Barry Goldwater was a frequent critic of the Fed. Most Americans have no real understanding of the operation of the international moneylenders. The accounts of the Federal Reserve System have never been audited. It operates outside the control of Congress and manipulates the credit of the United States. The Founding Fathers knew the evils of a privately owned central bank. First of all, they had seen how the privately owned British central bank, the Bank of England, had run up the British national debt to such an extent that Parliament had been forced to place unfair taxes on the American colonies. Ben Franklin claimed that this was the real cause of the American Revolution. Most of the Founding Fathers realized the potential dangers of banking and feared bankers' accumulation of wealth and power. Jefferson put it this way:
I sincerely believe that banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies. The issuing power should be taken from the banks and restored to the people to whom it properly belongs.
That succinct statement of Jefferson is, in fact, the solution to all our economic problems today.
Here's how it works. They print it, we borrow it, and we pay them interest.
This is garbage.
Jefferson agreed. Interestingly, he called those behind the central bank scheme money changers. Madison strongly criticized their actions.
History records that the money changers have used every form of abuse, intrigue, deceit, and violent means possible to maintain their control over governments by controlling money and its issuance.
The battle over who gets to issue our money has been the pivotal issue throughout the history of the United States. Wars are fought over it, depressions are caused to acquire it. Yet after World War I, this battle was rarely mentioned in newspapers or history books. Why? By World War I, the money changers, with their dominant wealth, had seized control of most of the nation's press.
The sharing of biased and false
news has become all too common on social media.
Unfortunately, some of the media using their platforms to push their own personal hands
and agenda to control exactly what people think. And this is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
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 All the Trump supporters that I talked to who were Trump voters.
He's trying to undermine the media, trying to make up his own facts. And it could be that he can actually control exactly what people think. And that is our job.
Yeah, that is our job.
You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pockets. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls.
Just a couple quick points on that last video. Yes, we got to go to the head of the snake. The banks have started the wars. They funded both sides of every world war and the current war that we are in. And yes, we are at war. But there's a couple things I wanted to point out to you. If you're fairly new to this type of information, well, first of all, just the dialogue at the beginning was a snippet from an old show that the actor who made the original statement at the very beginning of that video was in, and it was ahead of its time when they were talking about that. So those were snips from a TV show, and then you have snips from the documentaries. But there's a couple things that really stand out to me. And when you heard the repetition in the media, if you are not aware of how the media is controlled, please look up Operation Mockingbird. It's publicly available. You find out who controls it, how the information flows, why all the news agencies have all the same talking points consistently, except you will have the right and the left paradigm, which you should start to realize does not exist. That is a division amongst people, and it's supposed to give someone, you're supposed to keep us fighting against each other, the left and the right. You know what? There really isn't a left and a right. Most people are good people, just want to raise their families, have enough to food to eat, and live in a decent shelter, you know. But one of the things that in those media clips they've said, and you've heard this over and over for a last number of years, dangerous to our democracy. Well, just please understand, countries like Canada, Australia, and that, they're not democracies. Same with the UK. It's a parliamentary system. It is not a democracy. It's a party system, and it gives the illusion of democracy. But when has your government actually done stuff that the people really want or need? Think about that for a second. They focus on useless stuff that means nothing. And that's going to be a good segue into the next video. But the last thing I want to say before I get into that is the word democracy. And by the way, you should be offended, United States, who are supposed to be a constitutional republic, when they use the word democracy. Democracy is the last status a country goes through before it becomes socialist or communist. Okay? I can back that up with facts. I have before, and I will again. I don't want to detract from the main message, which is in the next video that I'm going to play for you. Now, this video has, you know, some Christian values attached to it. And if you're not a Christian, and you just want to, as soon as you hear a Bible verse, you want to turn it off, I'm going to suggest strongly that you do not turn this off, because it's not a preachy video. It is actually an informational video about, at least you can learn about how the powers in the spirit world work. And if you don't believe it, that's fine, but it's worth your consideration. And for you Christians, there is some definite instruction for you in this video as well. This is really well done. The video makers are Gracely Inspired is the video maker, and they did a really good job. So I want to make sure that they have credit. Their logo will be at the bottom corner of the entire video as I play it. And stick around, because I have some comments right after this as well, and then I'll just close it out. So for your viewing pleasure, when presidents make deals, and this is not just about the United States, folks, this is about your world leaders.
Have you ever stopped to consider who truly controls your country? We often think of presidents, prime ministers, and other leaders as the ones who guide and lead our nations. But what if I told you that these individuals might not be the real decision makers? This is not a conspiracy theory, but a spiritual reality. Right from biblical times, we see that many leaders who were in charge made several decisions that were directly influenced by demonic forces. For example, King Herod sent and killed children who were born in the time of Jesus. Likewise, Pharaoh also took the lives of many children who were born in the time of Moses. King Ahab, alongside his wife Jezebel, tried to turn the nation into worshipping idols. All these leaders made terrible decisions because there were spiritual forces influencing them. And this is exactly what is also happening in our world's leaders today. Many of the decisions they make directly or indirectly affect you, even without your awareness. How do we know this is true? The answer is simple. It is because the policies they make are often policies that align more with the devil's agendas, more than those of God. These leaders are carefully hand-picked by the devil, who influences their decision-making even without them knowing. They do this through a complex web of deception involving spiritual strongholds, high-level occult structures, and Luciferian philosophies. Satan hides behind bureaucracies to pass ungodly laws. In fact, there are many countries around the world which have been completely sold out to Satan by their leaders. In such countries, all you keep hearing about is crisis upon crisis. No matter how many political debates take place in such nations, there is never peace. What you see on television is often just the surface. The real issues are the ones that go unseen. Governments are infiltrated by demons at every level, so Satan easily manipulates the system like a puppeteer. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." You can see that from this scripture, Satan is clearly identified as the God of this world. This means that whatever decision takes place on earth, Satan also seeks to have a say in it. And for him to have a say, he needs to have a physical human who will enforce those rules. Ephesians 6 verse 12 tells us, "These powers operate in the heavenly places," indicating they have a supernatural dimension. There is a very good reason why the Bible tells us to pray for our leaders and those in authority. In fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 2 verses 1 to 2, Paul said, "I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." Notice that he says, we should always pray for the leaders in authority, so that we can live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. The reason why a lot of ungodliness has been spreading very rapidly in these last days is because the church has started sleeping. Instead of praying for our nations, we spend time complaining. In the spirit realm, spirits do not bow down to complaints. They bow down to prayers. The Bible says, while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Once a leader is under the influence of demonic forces, there is no amount of protests the people hold that will move their hearts, because those leaders are under the wrong influence. You can complain about housing crisis or how expensive things have become, but it will mean little or nothing to these leaders, because at that moment, their hearts are hardened. The first thing Satan always does to every leader, not under the influence of God, is to harden their heart. And once a leader's heart is hardened, there is no amount of protests and tears that will move that leader. The more people complain, the more irritated that leader will become, since this is a spiritual problem. Every decision they make will always be what benefits them first before you. Whether you are poor or have no place to stay, it really has nothing to do with them, because at the back of their minds, they view you as the victim. The reason why God urges us to pray for our leaders is so that it softens their hearts, opens their eyes, as well as hinder the plans the enemy wants to fulfill through these leaders. So whenever you see a country that is in total confusion and chaos, it is a function of the kind of principalities and spirits behind that nation. This does not mean God is not in control. He always is. But you have to know that we as humans rule the earth because it was given to us. If we don't invite God to take control, then we should not be surprised that all these things are happening, because God does not force his will on us. Take a look around you. Have you never noticed that a majority of countries that experience a lot of catastrophes and natural disasters are often strongly tied to idol worship? Although not in every single case, most countries that experience too many frequent disasters are often countries that have deviated from God and served other gods. In Haiti, for example, the dominant religion is Christianity, but a huge part of the Haitians also practice voodoo, which includes the veneration of spirits called Loa. In 2010, an earthquake with a magnitude of 7.0 struck near the capital, Port-au-Prince, resulting in massive casualties and extensive damage to infrastructure. In 2021, the same Haiti was struck again by another severe earthquake with a magnitude of 7.2, which resulted in significant loss of life and widespread destruction in the affected areas. On March 11, 2011, Japan experienced a catastrophic natural disaster when a magnitude 9.0 earthquake occurred off the northeastern coast of Honshu, Japan's main island. In 2015, Nepal suffered a devastating earthquake that killed thousands and destroyed much of the country's infrastructure. Although most people might call this a coincidence, it really isn't always the case. The spiritual always rules the physical. Now, this can happen in any country. But a country that turns its back on God is always 10 times more likely to experience such calamities. Secret societies like the Freemasons, Rosicrucians, and Illuminati have arisen to infiltrate legitimate institutions and promote doctrines of humanism, socialism, and modern liberalism that turn people away from God. For example, whenever the devil wants to penetrate or control a nation, they can never do so without human vessels granting them access. So the way they work is to first go through what we call a process of selection and manipulation. Firstly, the devil looks for ambitious, proud, or morally corrupt men who can be easily manipulated. Leaders with weak moral values or character flaws are the easiest to control. So the devil then entices them with promises of power, prestige, and wealth in exchange for loyal service. Once a leader is hooked, the demonic powers maintain control by constantly feeding the leader's ego and greed. This is why you will often see presidents or leaders who appear weak on power, but are obsessed with holding on to it at all costs. Sometimes you might even find a president so old almost to the point of death, but he still refuses to hand over power. This is because the demonic forces behind them prefer to use somebody they can easily manipulate and control. The devil knows finding someone else to control takes a lot of time and energy, so the devil does everything possible to retain these people in power so that he can continue to manipulate them. They are not looking for leaders with strong moral convictions or unshakable faith. Rather, they seek those who can be easily swayed, manipulated, and guided to fulfill their agenda. So we see that demons can literally take over a leader's mind and reduce them to a loaf of bread if it serves their purpose. All the votings, protocols, and ceremonies surrounding presidents are meaningless because they are still under the control of invisible wicked forces. This is why the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 2, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn." And this is also why the Bible tells believers to pray for leaders in authority, because God is very much aware of the fact that there are spiritual forces at play. You might wrongly think their policies or agendas won't affect you, but you are wrong. If you fail to pray little by little, those same policies they put in place will indirectly or directly affect you. It will get to a stage where they won't even allow you to serve God properly. This is why the devil is very selective as to who gets into power, because he needs someone he can manipulate and use against you. From there, the devil then assigns high-level demons to constantly whisper instructions and influence the leader's thoughts, speech, and decisions. This is why leaders can quickly shift from sensible to nonsensical actions and policies. They are just puppets under a puppet master, being manipulated by demons. In most cases, these leaders don't actually know what they are doing. They get into power with the promise that they will make the nation better. But they begin to promote agendas that violate God's will. They begin to put laws in place, which causes the people to always keep working and paying more taxes. These citizens who are forever working just to pay huge taxes and put food on the table fail to realize that it is all Satan's strategy to keep people in bondage. A great example of this is King Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel, chapter 4. Verse 31 says, "While the words were still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven, 'King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is declared, the kingdom has departed from you.' This happened because pride and arrogance took root in Nebuchadnezzar's heart, and Satan used those flaws to turn the king into an irrational beast. In some cases, the devil will strategically place people around such a leader so that the leader continues to be pressured to make rules that affect the people. This way, once these laws are enforced and the people accept them, then the devil can fully come in and control that nation at will. Wicked and ungodly leaders do not arise randomly. The devil's fingerprints are all over the politics of nations that reject God's rule. This is clearly evidenced by the rapid moral decay in many countries that once honored God. You find families struggling to feed themselves, but are still forced to pay expensive taxes. The leaders make life difficult for the citizens, but instead give priority to laws that are not important. They focus on enforcing laws that promote agendas that directly offend God. In Ephesians 6 verse 12, the Bible speaks of principalities and powers that exist in high places. These are not flesh and blood rulers, but spiritual wickedness operating in the heavenly realms. Satan's primary goal is to corrupt and control God's perfect creation and turn man away from his creator. To do this, he knows that he must infiltrate positions of influence in order to deceive entire populations. In the book of Daniel chapter 10, verses 12 to 14, we see an example of this spiritual warfare over earthly dominions. The archangel Michael had to fight against the prince of Persia, a demonic entity, for 21 days before he could bring a message from God to Daniel. And even after defeating the prince of Persia, Michael said that the prince of Greece, another high-ranking demon, was coming next. This prince was not a man but a spiritual entity, a principal power. This shows us that behind every earthly prince, president, or leader, there is a corresponding demonic prince or power sent to influence that individual. The devil assigns high-ranking demons to control specific geographical territories, and these satanic princes fight to prevent God's will from being established in their assigned region. The princes take control over territories and decide what happens in those areas. This is why in some countries you might find a lot of crimes. This is because the principality that operates over that nation manifests its presence through violence. In another city you might find a lot of poverty, and in another nation you might find a lot of immorality. So when we think our battle is against a certain leader or government, we are mistaken. Just like Michael fought against the prince of Persia, and not the earthly king, our real enemies are the dark forces operating behind a country's leadership. Remove one puppet leader, and the devil will just find another one to advance his agenda. Sometimes Christians wrongly think some of these things might not affect them. But the reality is it does. It is your responsibility as a Christian to pray and make declarations. That is part of your calling. God has handed the world over to us, his church. But God dwells in heaven and we dwell on earth. This means that whatever happens on earth is technically what we allowed. If these unseen forces are at play, what can we as believers do? The answer is you have to pray. The Bible urges believers to continually intercede for kings and all in authority. You see, prayer is not just a mere ritual or a spiritual exercise. It's a potent weapon in the believer's arsenal. When you don't pray, these things you assume will not affect you will end up affecting you too. It's only through prayers that we can combat the control and domination of these unseen forces. It's through prayer that we can influence the direction of our nations and the decisions of our leaders. In the first book of Timothy, chapter 2, verses 1 to 2, the Apostle Paul writes to his young protege, Timothy, urging him to lead the church in prayers for all people and especially for those in authority. I exhort, therefore, Paul writes, that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. This is not a passive prayer for a peaceful life, but an active engagement with the spiritual forces at play. It's a prayer that seeks to disrupt the plans of the enemy and establish the will of God in our nations and in our leaders. And let's not forget the powerful promise in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14, where it says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Believers need to frustrate the devil's plans through intense prayer. Satan loves lazy Christians, and the more lazy you are, the more he is able to carry out enforcing his laws. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, Paul says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Our weapons are not physical but spiritual. We are participants equipped and empowered by God to stand against these unseen forces. The power that we possess as believers is clearly expressed in the book of Luke chapter 10 verse 19, where Jesus declares, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Here serpents and scorpions symbolize demonic forces, and we are given authority to trample upon them. This divine power is not for our glory, but for the glory of God and the advancement of his kingdom. And let's not forget Romans chapter 8 verse 37, Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That's who we are in Christ. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace, humbled and contrite, seeking your divine intervention in the affairs of our leaders and society. We acknowledge that you are the sovereign ruler of the universe, and we submit ourselves to your authority and power. Father, we know how dark this world has become, and we pray against every demonic influence that seeks to manipulate and control our leaders, causing them to make decisions that are contrary to your will and purposes over our lives. We bind the spirits of darkness, confusion, and deception that seek to blind their eyes and harden their hearts, just as your word says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. We command these evil spirits to loose their hold on our leaders, and we ask that you, O God, grant them wisdom, discernment, and a heart that seeks after you, as promised in Proverbs 9, verse 10. We pray against every agenda of the enemy that seeks to destroy our lives, our families, and our communities. We stand against the spirits of division, strife, and hatred that seek to tear us apart, just as your word says in Ephesians 6, verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We pray that your love, peace, and unity would prevail, and that your kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven, as promised in Matthew 6, verse 10. Lord, we ask that you would open the gateway for the gospel to penetrate every corner of the earth, that your message of salvation, redemption, and hope would reach every nation, tribe, and tongue, as promised in Matthew 24, verse 14. We pray that your word would be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, guiding us in these dark and uncertain times, as promised in Psalm 119, verse 105. We pray that as your children, we would not be under the influence of the enemy's schemes and devices. We ask that you would keep us from the evil one, and that we would not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, as promised in Romans 12, verse 2. We pray that you would raise up a standard against the enemy, and that your glory would be revealed in our midst. We ask that you would pour out your Spirit upon us, and that we would be empowered to be witnesses for you in these dark times, as promised in Acts 1, verse 8. Finally, we pray that you would come quickly, Lord Jesus, and take your church to be with you forever. We long for your return, and we pray that we would be found faithful, watching, and waiting for your glorious appearing, as promised in Revelation 22, verse 20. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Well, there you have it. Let's just do a quick recap and with some instructions, if I may. The opening clip was what I'll call the COVIDiot, who have run the world where the entire world went on to the exact same scenario and locked you up into a prison, which they're planning to do again. Make no mistake about it. They're planning to do it. They might do it a different way, but they are planning to do it again. And when they did that, they took more and more power, and they laughed at you because they made you keep the rules, and they just flew on their private jets and did all the things that they wanted to do. So you see, pure evil, and it was evil, very evil, what they did. And then, of course, they convinced many people to take something that was very experimental with the promise that you'll get your life back. And now the truth is coming out about it. And I'm sorry if you're one of those ones who have taken it. There is a solution for you, however, as well, because God is bigger than all of this. And one of the things that God did was he put healing substances on this planet. He made your body perfect. You are made in his image. He gave you an immunity system. And you know, cancer is a fairly new thing. Autism is a fairly new thing. Liver disease is a fairly new thing. All these things are fairly new, like in the last 100 years. And that's because our air is being poisoned. Our water is being poisoned. Your food is processed, or you can say poisoned as well, for that, and your immunity system is having to conquer things that it doesn't conquer, and it has been beaten up by things. You can improve your immunity system by going and getting this particular mushroom. Go to ror.petclub247.com. That's ror.petclub247.com. Get the mushrooms. Support your immunity system. Let your immunity system do the work as it was intended. But then the next video we saw is how the control structure actually works and what we need to do to start taking it back. We need to stop paying for this stuff. We need to really, we need to do a tax revolt, folks. There's nowhere we need, we're paying for our demise. We need to revolt. We need to take the head of the snake down. We need to really start a parallel economy. That might sound a little bit more difficult, but you could start trading with people. You could start doing things, and we could start saying no to their stuff. Are you sick of your money being sent all over the world while there's a homeless encampment in your city? Your roads are full of potholes. The government does nothing for you, but yet you're giving, like in Canada, 70% of your money at least is going to the government. What do you get for that? Please tell me. Oh, medical care? Really? Come on, folks. We need to get past this. So we've identified at least the part of the beast system that is there. And then we heard about the spiritual component. Now, even if you are not a believer, and thank you, God, that you sat through that. If you had the patience to go through it, listen, you know that you are body, soul, and spirit, okay? Your soul is your personality. Your body, that's pretty identifiable. You need to start thinking about your spirit. And there's a lot of confusion out there. There's a lot of alternative things. But yet there's something very unique about the Bible. And there's something very unique about the name of Jesus Christ. Why is it when anyone stubs their toe or they get cut off in traffic, they don't yell Buddha or they don't yell Allah? They yell, they take the name of the Lord Jesus in vain. Why? Because you've been taught all of these things. You have been taught and conditioned by the world through the Mockingbird media, through all of the lies of the government, through your education system, which has taught you nothing, by the way, nothing useful, really. A past grade five, probably nothing really useful, folks. It has been a setup from the beginning. It goes much deeper than you think. It is way bigger than you think. And when you understand how the money works and how human nature works, because power and greed are very attractive, greed in the form of money and payoffs and stuff like that, as well as blackmail and things like that is really how you get control over governments. And, you know, it works, folks. That's how they did it. But we can pray. And God has made us promises. God has made us promises. Did you notice in that last video that demons don't respond to Christians complaining? And Satan loves a lazy Christian? It's time. It is time. There cannot be more of a desperate time than now. Because of what is happening in the world. If you see things that I have seen, if you could even see into the spirit world, you would be terrified. But you see, we're going towards a one-world financial system. You see the security cameras going up. You know that AI is taking everything that's on the internet, which is, by the way, your image when you walk into the gas station or the convenience store into Walmart. It's taking your credit card transactions. It knows how far you drive, how much gas you use. Or if you're one of those people who bought an electric car, it knows that even on a greater scale, the tracking that is happening. And of course, you've always signed up for these points cards. You walk around with a phone that tracks every single move, even if you're off. And by the way, it listens to you even when it's off. Yes, it does. They are injecting nanoparticles into your foods. They're trying to convert you away from being human. That sounds like conspiracy, but when you start to see the facts, you start to see what was in those injections, you start to see what is in our food supply, something has to change very quick, or you are a sheep being led to the slaughter. And as Bill Cooper famously said, you won't even know it until you smell the blood of the person who's right in front of you in line. Don't forget to leave a comment. And if you can, leave one on each section. Just tell me if you enjoyed each section or one little thing that you liked about each section. And also share this video. This video is meant to be shared. I made it to be shared. I prayed that you would think it was good enough to share and even clip it. You can clip my videos and send them out anywhere. I don't care. I don't care. You know what I do care about, though? Prayer. Join the prayer. We have it on Telegram every Wednesday at 7:30 Eastern Standard Time, every Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It is time to start fighting back, folks. If you want to do it by yourself, that's fine. That's cool. But is it just join us? Also, Sunday there will be a show, probably a show on Friday on Podbean. Most importantly, life isn't complicated as the world is being portrayed to us. It really isn't. Let me sum it up in four really easy things for you to remember. Love God. He has a name. My God has a name. Jesus Christ is my Lord. Love your God. Love your family. They were given to you for a reason. Love your neighbor as yourself. And go and make a difference in your community.